Good morning. This is the Publix Radio, 89.3 FM. I'm Chuck Hinman, here with James Baumgartner for this week's Artscape.
Good morning, Chuck. You may have heard about some controversy recently at the intersection of arts and politics and Pride Month in Bristol, Rhode Island. For more on that, we're joined by reporter Shane McKeon. Hi, Shane.
Hello, guys.
Hey.
So, Shane, you've been spending some time in Bristol. What's going on there?
That's right. There were two separate controversies that kind of raised a similar bunch of questions. The first was at an event at a local library called the Drag Queen Story Hour. These events have been held in cities across the U.S. They're in which a drag queen reads a story to some kids. The library announced this event. It got some criticism, and then it canceled it. It got more criticism for canceling it, and so it uncanceled the event. The event happened last weekend, and it went on without hitch. And to a lot of people, it became this conversation larger than just drag queens, and more about the values of this town. What is or isn't acceptable in the public square?
And there was something happened at the Bristol Art Museum as well, right?
Yeah, they announced this show called Dead Ringer, and one of the artists who contributed work is Bradley Wester. Bradley lives in Bristol. He moved there from New York City like 6 years ago, and it's his work that helped set off this latest flare-up.
What's the work in question here?
So it's these photos, which Bradley found online, actual photos of male soldiers doing things you don't typically see soldiers doing. Like, there's one of a young soldier who's naked, except for a pair of pink women's underwear. Another photo of two soldiers, two men, kissing. Again, these are actual photos, and Bradley says he zeroed in on them because of why these men are posing the ways they are.
Many of these images look to be hazing rituals, where soldiers are made to do things that make them appear like a woman or gay, like the most humiliating thing you can do.
Bradley says that is the assumption he wants the work to question. Like, why would dressing like a woman or acting gay be the way that you would haze or humiliate another man? The final pieces leave the photos virtually untouched. The only addition is a disco ball, which Bradley has put in the foreground. Bradley says he wanted to evoke nightclubs where seeing men dressed in women's underwear or kissing would not be humiliating or even unusual.
So where exactly does the controversy come in?
Well, there were members of the museum's board who didn't want Bradley's work displayed in the show. Maybe they found it inappropriate for children or offensive to the military. I'm not exactly sure. They didn't respond to requests for comment. But at any rate, the board wanted the show to go up without Bradley's work. And here's Bradley recalling those behind-the-scene conversations.
Can you get Bradley to change out the work to something different? No. Can you get Bradley to hide it in ostensibly a closet? And I'm like, no, I'm not going back into the closet for anyone.
The show's curator did not back down. The board then canceled the show, then uncanceled, then recanceled, then unrecanceled. And the show has since gone up, and the board now says it'll stay open until July 14th. Again, the board's director did not respond to my requests for comment, but in a statement, the board called the show, quote, a powerful demonstration by artists with strong messages. Their art has provoked exactly the type of discussion that art should, a community dialogue, unquote.
So what's Bradley's response to that?
He told me that, yes, he does want his work to start a conversation, and it has no doubt done that. He also noted the timing of both these controversies, that it is Pride Month, which is supposed to be this time that we acknowledge the ways LGBTQ people have fought to be accepted. Here's what he said about that.
There's historically a lot of shame, you know, that comes with being queer, but also the joy and the celebration and the immense optimism that it takes to live day to day, you know, as a queer person. And I'm here in this little town, which is my new town, you know, and it's like I realized how much courage it really takes, and I'm just blown away by these drag queens. It sounds silly, but I'm inspired by them, and that's why I'm fighting this fight. I will not be censored.
I should also add two things. One is that just about everyone I spoke to in Bristol said they supported both of these events going forward, and that canceling them does not reflect what the town stands for. And two, Bradley is not the only artist in this show. There's a real range of challenging, interesting work on display right now at the museum, and it's open until July 14th.
Great. Thanks, Shane.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
New Bedford's getting ready for a big weekend, and you've been following that story, right, Chuck?
Oh, yeah. That's the official kickoff of Summer Winds, New Bedford's art-themed celebration of the city's emerging leadership in wind energy. They have been working all week getting ready for the launch of the custom art installation Silver Current.
That's the piece by Los Angeles artist Patrick Shearn, right?
That's it. Yeah, this is a giant moving sculpture in the air made up of thousands of strands of silvery film. I went over there on Tuesday to watch the installation in the rain in the middle of New Bedford's Custom House Square. My first glimpse of Patrick Shearn came as he was about 50 feet up in a bucket lift, wrestling guy ropes attached to a center pole that anchors his piece. He eventually came down and we talked. So how's the work going so far?
The work is going great. We're about two-thirds of the way up, something like that. We have a bunch of radial ropes going to a central pole, and those radial ropes go off to trees and to the federal building. And first we need to get them all installed, and they support the art itself. And then we have to balance them and make sure that all the lines going to all the trees are the right tension and everything so that everything loads up evenly. And then we'll go and tweak, and then I like to watch it for a day or two and see if the wind changes or whatever happens, that we can like adjust it accordingly, because sometimes the wind changes and everything changes.
So you've done a lot of these, right?
I've done ones in Berlin and Prague and Melbourne, Australia, and in Qatar and Scottsdale and St. Petersburg, Russia. And they're all different, everyone's site-specific. As an artist, it's really wonderful to come into a new city, a new place, and meet the people, especially in this city, and study the wind and get a little bit of sense of culture and what's appropriate, and then go away and design something very specific. In New Bedford here, it's been really, really rewarding. The support here has been great. The museum people have just been really, really supportive. It's been a challenging location because all the buildings are historic and they're all far away from the location. And it's been a real challenge from the engineering perspective. We wanted to impact this park so that people would come to the park and hang out and have picnics under this piece of art. And it's perfect. It's really interesting in that if the wind is a little bit, it looks like this. And when the wind is a lot, it looks like that. And I tell people, like, come back. Because you can be on a really cool, still day, and the gentle breeze makes the streamers move delicately and gently. And then when the wind picks up, you get sort of these big symphonic movements through the whole entire piece. And both are equally valid. I recommend you check it out at different times. It's really great in the sunlight. I really think that it's going to be pretty spectacular on a sunny day down here.
So that's Patrick Shearn, and his installation, Silver Current, is officially open on Saturday evening in Custom House Square, New Bedford, and it'll be up through September.
I'll definitely want to check that out.
Check it out a few times, because as Patrick Shearn said, it changes with the wind, and it's really an awesome idea. What else is going on this weekend, James?
Well, there's Womanimation at AS220 in Providence.
Wait a minute. Womanimation?
Womanimation, as the name suggests, it's an animation film festival of short films created by women from all over the world. Features all styles of animations from hand-drawn to stop-motion and computer animation. It's Saturday at AS220 with several different showings in the afternoon and evening.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, and then on Sunday, our own Tori Malatia will interview Deborah Royce about her novel Finding Mrs. Ford. It's about a woman who lives a life where everything is in its right place in Watch Hill. And then the FBI shows up to ask her about a man from her past.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Never a good thing when the FBI shows up.
Usually not. Part of the novel takes place in Watch Hill, and that's where Tori and Deborah Royce will be talking at the Watch Hill Chapel at 5 p.m. on Sunday.
Great. And how about some music?
Well, tonight is the start of the Concert Under the Elm series from the Rhode Island Historical Society. It's an outdoor concert on the grounds of the John Brown House in Providence. Tonight's concert features the local Cajun band Magnolia.
Oh, I know them. They're really good. Why don't we end with a little Cajun music from Magnolia then?
All right. You can find more information about all of the events we discussed at thepublicsradio.org/arts.
Artscape is produced by James Baumgartner with the help from Shane McKeon this week. Our managing editor is Sally Eisley.